Welcome to today's EN Essentials training session. My name is Derek Shields and I will serve as the moderator for today's session. If this is your first EN Essentials event, please know we design these training sessions for individuals who are seeking to enhance both their employment network's performance and compliance with ticket program policies. The learning events build upon the initial EN Foundations training and feature new resources, best practice strategies, and other helpful information, as in today's 2023 roundup focused on request for application or RFA changes. Before we begin with our agenda and presentations today, I'd like to review a few logistics and housekeeping items. First, it's important to know that we are recording this meeting and a transcript is being kept as well. Now to the next slide, please. For this EN Essentials session, we'll cover some logistics and introductions. Then we'll cover the purpose of the session, and then we'll dive deeply into the 2023 RFA changes and updates. Those presentations will be followed by a questions and answers period, and we'll close with some resources for you. Next slide, please. Okay, let's cover those logistics. To engage with us, as if you've attended before, you know this, but let's review for everyone. It's important that you can participate in several ways. We have an MS Teams chat section, which is open, and you can provide comments and questions through chat. You can also use your raise hand or telephone to unmute and ask your questions live. That's a two-step process, and during the Q&A session, before we start that, I'll review those steps in more detail. You can also email us a question at enoperations@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. Importantly, if you'd like to access captions, we have two options. We have a link that Tammy placed in chat, and you can use that to activate captioning, or you can use live captions if you prefer, and you can access that through the MS Teams More Actions menu. Next slide, please. As I said, my name is Derek Shields. I'm a senior EN Development and Training Manager for the Ticket Program Manager, and I'm the moderator today. I'm delighted to have with me Melanie Webb as our first presenter. Melanie is the branch chief with the Social Security Administration's Office of Employment Support. Following Melanie, we will be joined by Anna Morales. Anna is the EN Development and Training Manager, also with the Ticket Program Manager. Next slide, please. As we have called this, the RFA changes and the 2023 roundup, the content that's going to be covered today will focus on revisions made to several parts of the RFA. This includes Part 1, the Ticket Program Agreement, Part 3, the Statement of Work, and Part 4, Terms and Conditions. Important to note, there were no revisions made in 2023 to Part 2, the Payment Rates. We did want to also tell you that we're not going to cover some changes that were made. These revisions were in Part 5 and 6. These covered the EN application. So, in effect, this isn't information that we're going to focus on with employment networks, but we have included in a side-by-side comparison resource that will be posted on the website, and we'll tell you how to access that before the end of this event. Okay, let's move to the next slide, please. At this point, I'd like to introduce Melanie Webb to cover the purpose content and begin the presentation today. Melanie, over to you, please.
Thanks, Derek, and good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining our EN Essentials presentation today. And I will start by acknowledging the fact that anytime you see a presentation that focuses specifically on the RFA, let alone RFA updates, it is not the most riveting content, but it is very important content. And so I just wanted to set the tone for the purpose of today's presentation. And that is that, you know, first and foremost, we've heard you in terms of your feedback, letting us know that when we make updates or clarifications, although we often send out messages, sometimes it isn't clear exactly what changed. You know, there aren't resources that are readily available that summarize everything. And there's been a lot of questions. And so by putting this together today, we're hoping that it gives you an opportunity to hear from our team who will go through what those changes are, But we also want to let you know that, you know, based on your feedback, we also want to reset, hit the reset button. And looking ahead, we want to make sure that we do a better job communicating what these changes are, when they'll be implemented, what resources are available for you guys so that it's easier for everyone. What we do not want to do today is use this time to specifically talk about things that happened in previous services and supports reviews or get into, you know, why we have all of these new requirements. Those discussions, you know, can be held at another time. It's really to go through the changes, and if you have questions that is specific to this content, that's what we would like to discuss today. So with that in mind, in terms of, you know, just understanding the RFA, we want to use this time to make sure that everyone is aware of what the responsibilities are within the RFA, and we're going to outline what some of those changes are from the previous version in the RFA from April 2022 through the latest version that's posted through today, November in 2023. And I will say that most of the updates that have been included are just clarifications or revisions that help with the language in terms of what the intent was of that. These are not brand new requirements that we inserted and did not make anyone aware of. But more importantly, as I mentioned, we want to talk about, you know, what we will do to change this and make it better in the future. And so we plan to announce those in advance so that you will know when, you know, the changes will be effective, but also not just saying, you know, here's a requirement from SSA. We want to be more specific about how that will be updated in the RFA, where you can find that, what does that mean? You know, is there training that's needed? Will it be part of this series? Is it something that we can talk about on an all-in call? So, you know, being able to talk about that upfront so that it's more timely and just provide additional guidance. And then finally, we'll be working closely with TPM so that we will have a resource available that we can post on the website so that you will have something that you can go to see what changed, when it changed, and, you know, we can take the guesswork out of it. So all of the changes that we will be discussing today have been sent out either in the Gov delivery. You'll hear us reference the Gov delivery message that was sent out on April 5th that specifically focused on ticket holder engagement. And in addition to that, we also covered what these changes were during one of the recaps in the all-EN call on April 18th. And then there were also subsequent messages that went out that talked about some of the contact requirements that were included in the RFA, and all of those changes to date have been captured in the most recent version, and that's what will be covered after we get through the first couple of slides. Next slide, Derek. Okay, so for the next one, in terms of the term of agreement, it is important to note that your TPA is valid for 10 years from the time of award. And the government has the right to either extend or terminate your agreement, as well as the EN can also terminate the agreement for any reason. And so, you know, everyone is pretty familiar with what the grounds are for termination. So that can happen, you know, prior to the 10-year expiration date. But the bottom line is that from the time of the award, it is good for 10 years. One other thing to note is that the government does reserve the right to make unilateral or bilateral changes to the TPA. So what this means is that if it's a unilateral change, we can update language, we can make changes at any time, and you will be held accountable for meeting those requirements. Bilateral changes is when we would require you to sign a new TPA, and that would occur if there were much more substantial changes, you know, things that aren't clarified. It doesn't include, you know, anything minor like we've covered over the past few months. And so again, with either of these changes, when those are implemented, you are responsible for meeting those new requirements, and we can make those changes without requiring any signatures from ENs. There are additional terms and conditions that can be referenced. That is in in part four of the RFA. We will not go into great detail of those, but just as a reference, that is available as well. And then finally, I'll just close with a lot of, as I mentioned, we will discuss, you know, some of the changes that went out in previous Gov delivery messages, and we do also have a recap of those on the website. If you reference the April 18th All-EN call, we did summarize some of those changes there as well. So it's just one more resource for you to access if you are interested. And with that, I will turn it over to Anna Morales.
Thank you, Mel, and good afternoon, everybody. I'm going to start going through the different sections of the RFA that were mentioned before. And I am not going in particular read what's on the slide because you're going to have this information, but I'm going to help you identify where is it, the section of the RFA, if it was a change or a clarification like Mel announced before. And also a reminder that from now on, Social Security will announce all these substantive changes when they occur and when they are going to take effect. And along with Social Security, we created a resource document that is already posted on the website, and this will provide a comparison of the main changes that happened during this year. And it's called the 2023 RFA Revisions Resource that you're more than welcome to check out after this call. And we are going to provide the link where you can find it exactly. This part that is on the slide right now, it refers to the termination of the TPA. And a new language was added. And mainly is to clarify that along with the responsible staff for the employment network, which is the signatory authority or the program contact, that Social Security may also consider making other staff associated with the terminated EN ineligible to work for the Ticket to Work program in the future, if that is the case. And this language was added to the RFA Part 1, the Ticket Program Agreement, section. The next slide is the EN qualifications. And this is not a change. This is a clarification that new EN employees cannot be employed by multiple ENs. Part three, the statement of work, and is specific to the qualification requirement. Again, this is not new. It's just a clarification of something that was already in existence, but was added to the new version of the RFA, which I believe I saw somebody asking where is it. It's already posted. All the RFAs, when they are the versions, when they are updated, they're immediately posted. And we have provided the link of where you can find it in the chat section. The next slide talks about the employer business model. This is not a new requirement, but this is a clarification. And this specifies that the EN must become an employer EN if they hire just one ticket holder. This is something that was already in place, but it was added to clarify the language in the RFA. And similar to this section that is mentioned here in the part three, you can also find this information in part five, which is very specific to the business model or service, that says that ENs operating under either a traditional or administrative model may assign the tickets of ticket holders who they subsequently employ. And however, when a traditional EN or administrative EN employs a ticket holder, they must submit a separate RFA to become an employer EN. The next slide is the administrative EN, and in this change, the EN or any staff at the EN cannot work for an EN or be an administrative EN provider affiliate at the same time. And provider affiliates cannot make payments to ticket holders. That is the last bullet that you see in that specific slide. And that is a change that happened to this specific section, which you can find in the part three of the statement of work. And just as a reminder in general, whenever Social Security receives an application for an administrative EN, every application must come along with at least at a minimum two provider affiliates that are ready to be part of the program, so that administrative EN can be ready to provide that specific service. The next slide is the ticket assignment. And this is a clarification. This is not a new requirement. This was added to clarify that ENs cannot assign a ticket before the IWP is completed and signed by both parties. This information, you can find it in the part three of the statement of work. And this is also mentioned in the section four of the individual work plan. There is a note that was added that says that the IWP is a written and signed agreement between the ticket holder or the representative of the ticket holder and the EN. And you can also find that in both sections as well. The next one is a continuation of the individual work plan. This is a new language, and this clarifies when the goals or services change for the ticket holder. Everybody has to be in agreement and they need to create and sign an amendment. This is part of the part three, the statement of work, section four, which is all about the individual work plan. The next slide is a continuation of the IWP requirements, and we're going to have up to 10 parts of these slides, of these sections. The part one is a clarification. This has always been part of the services and supports reviews, and it was just added to the RFA for clarification, but it's also included in the 1370 template. The next one is the part two of the IWP requirements, and this is going to be like a continuation, like I mentioned, until part 10. This is also a clarification. It's not a new requirement. This is a description of the goals. Pretty much every ticket holder's goals and services must be unique to them and describe how and when they will lead to employment and reduce the cash benefits to that individual. And to help you, again, identify where you can find it, if the information, if you notice on the slide, there's a specific place, the part of the RFA and the specific place where you can find this exact information. The next one is a continuation of the IWP. This section in the RFA was all the clarifications that have been added, so you can find it there. And this one refers specifically to the initial job acquisition phase. And it means that as an employment network, you and the ticket holder must have a two-way communication at least monthly, since it is in the initial job phase, the proof of that interaction. And that is a lot of the information that you have heard during the previous EN's essential trainings that we have been concentrating in different sections to help you with the idea of the two-way communication and the active engagement that should happen with the ticket holder. This information was announced via the Gov delivery of April 5th. And the name was the ticket holder engagement. And there, you can find that information there, but you can also find it in the RFA guidance. That is the specific place that you'll see on the slide. The part four is still a continuation of the initial job acquisition phase. And this means that you must unassign the ticket within 60 days of losing that communication with the ticket holder if they are in the initial phase. So it's more clarification on the different procedures that employment networks need to follow if they disconnect from a ticket holder during that initial acquisition phase. The next one, this was mentioned during the April 5th Gov delivery message, but it clarifies the documentation, guidance, and requirements that are needed. And it clarifies that as an employment network, you must document, keep, and be able to prove all the details of the two-way communication with ticket holders using acceptable methods of communication. And it went into very specific, as you can see, the voicemails, the emails, the texts, and all the different ways that you can communicate with ticket holders. For the next one is still during the initial phase, and it's just a continuation of the different steps that an employment network needs to follow if they lose that communication with the ticket holder or if the services are not appropriate. Like the number one, if the goals are still not appropriate, then determine if there are additional services needed. The number two is if they need new goals to have that new conversation and set new goals. But if unfortunately that's not the case and it doesn't work out and no longer the beneficiary no longer wants to participate towards those established goals, to unassign the ticket. And again, all this information was announced in a Gov delivery of April 5th. The next one is the part seven, and now we're moving to the ongoing employment support phase. And the information is very similar to the initial acquisition phase, but it has some different variations since this is more when the beneficiary is working and is not in that placing in a job. But the two-way communication continues. The way to connect with the ticket holders is the same, that two-way communication that is required and the engagement. And the requirement of an employment network to document, keep, and be able to prove all that quarterly communication with the ticket holder. This was also included in the Gov delivery message that was sent on April 5th. The next slide is a continuation of this ongoing phase. And the difference here is that if the employment network is not able to maintain that communication with the ticket holders and they lose that communication, they must unassign the ticket within 180 days of losing the communication with the ticket holder. Also included in that April 5th Gov delivery. The part nine was also included in that Gov delivery and is emphasizing one more time, if you notice, the two-way communication is included in all phases, in different areas, because it's extremely important to maintain that engagement with the ticket holder using all the acceptable methods of communication. And this again is the same information of looking at the appropriate goals, what is the goal setting for the ticket holder, if there is a need to review them, to change them, to adjust, and if it doesn't work, unassign the ticket. And all this information was included in that April 5th Gov delivery message. The last part of the IWP section is that Social Security added this particular language, the one in red that you see in the slide, because if an EN has all new staff and Social Security and TPM will treat them as a new EN with regards to the ticket assignment reviews or the TARs, because the EN will not have any staff that is experienced writing IWPs or with the Ticket to Work program. And in some instances, training may be needed as well. And we are also able to provide that support and training for anybody that needs it. The next one is in particular about Partnership Plus. And this is not necessarily a new requirement, but it was an addition that was added to the RFA. It's also mentioned on page 44 of the RFA, and it's basically asking for the Partnership Plus agreements that are in place. I know that this year you send it twice. You send it with your APOR and also with your services and supports reviews. But from now on, or next year, that information will be required for you to submit with your services and supports reviews. And I apologize. I said that this is not a change, but it is a change that was added to the RFA. Just clarifying that portion. This one is about EN training, and this is the Section 7 of the RFA, specifically addressing the first two items that were added for clarification. It's not a new requirement that every EN contact and portal users must complete the EN Foundations training and suitability within 60 days of award, or if there is a TPA change for that particular staff, they cannot serve ticket holders until they complete the training and are suitable. And the last note, the bullet, it emphasized that the EN staff must complete EN Foundations training if they are taking a new role or if they are away from the Ticket to Work program for more than a year. We do provide that training as well. A continuation of the training section, part two. This was added for clarification since only the ticket portal users must complete the ticket portal training module. And this was part of the announcement that Social Security provided on March 21st. And also emphasizing the need that every ticket portal user that needs access should be, the EN should be looking at that as a business need and see exactly who needs to be in the portal and performing the duties for that employment network. So this is when this addition came. Then the next one, the part three of the training, this was added for clarification to specify that all EN contacts and portal users that are added to the TPA are using the TPA change form to complete the Foundations training and following the proper steps, the time frame, the 60 days, without having a risk of receiving a cure notice and potentially a termination. And all this information was also announced during the April 18 OLIAN call. You can find that specific information also on the recap that is posted on our website. The next one is data collection and reporting requirements. And this language was added for clarity. Mainly the one that is in red is just adding for clarity of this particular section. The next one is the evaluating EN performance. This is also a clarification. The criteria evaluation for EN performance was mentioned in the Gov Delivery announcement sent on April 5th, which is the ticket holder engagement. And the new language here was added in reference to the new 6-month review that is completed for those that need improvement. So we, on this one, we highlighted the red portion, which is the new information. The next slide doesn't have any change, but we just wanted to add it because it's part of the same performance that is mentioned in the previous section. And the next slide is a clarification. It's not a change, but it adds the explicitly states that SSA does not need to provide any notice to ENs to complete on-site reviews. So pretty much Social Security reserves the right to schedule a visit without notice to that employment network. And the last slide on this section is the protection of confidential information. It's another clarification where Social Security doesn't need that prior notice to provide on-site inspections. So I know that I went pretty quickly through the changes. The idea that we are providing right here is to show you the changes, where exactly in the RFA you can find them. Every slide has the particular place where you can find it in the RFA. You can read it after the call with more time. We are also going to post on the chat exactly where you can find that comparison document, where you can see the April 2022 RFA and the new changes that were mentioned. So you have that two comparison to see exactly where you can find it. And with that, I believe I want to turn it back to Derek.
Thank you so much, Anna, for going through 26 slides representing the changes from the RFA. And as Melanie mentioned, some of the content can be a little bit dry, but the important part here is that we've brought together the revision history of those changes in a single place. And as the questions have shown in chat, the materials will be available online. We'll have the PowerPoint, there'll be an audio recording, and there'll also be some recap tools that we've mentioned, and we'll share with those with you shortly and how to access those. We are now ready to open up to the Q&A period. We've had some comments in Q&A. Just a reminder that if you do have a question regarding services and supports, specifically about really implementation, our team is gathering those and will provide frequently asked questions response to those. Today, as we mentioned before, Melanie mentioned, we're going to be focused more on the RFA changes themselves. So please keep that in mind. We don't discourage you from submitting the questions. If you have questions around services and supports, put them in chat. We'll get you those answers separately. We go to the next slide, please. All right. With our Q&A, as a reminder, we have several different ways that you can access us. Many people have been using the chat function in MS Teams. We encourage you to do so, and we can our team will answer those questions. If you prefer to answer your question live, we have a couple options. You could use the raise hand feature in MS Teams, and we'll call on you. If you are accessing us today via telephone, we encourage you to ask your question live. If you like, press *5. That will raise your hand. Our team member will then call on you to unmute your phone. If you get called on, then you need to press *6 in order to speak and have us hear you. And again, we do encourage you to use MS Teams features if you're open to that. And the last choice, if you have access to email and you prefer to use that, please email us at enoperations@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. And so we'll leave these instructions up to help you. And what we're going to do first is start out the kind of look back at some of the questions that came through chat. And I'm going to ask Tammy on our team to come on and start with a question that she captured from chat for our team today. Tammy?
Hi, Derek. Thank you. Yes, I've got a couple here. I mean, I think we're answering most everything. Excuse me. I did have one earlier, and Natalie may have answered this, but can an EN hire a ticket holder under a different state or federal contract from the ticket contract and not need a new RFA? We operate under multiple state and federal contracts. I think that's a SSA question.
Yes, there were two individuals that asked something similar, but I'm going to just email them. I responded to them and asked them. I told them I'd email them to just get a little bit more information before I respond on that.
Okay. Thanks, Natalie. Another one. Will the statement of understanding requirement be added to the IWP template, or is that the paragraph that is right before the signature line? Maybe that's a Mary Kay question.
Yeah, it was just, this is Mary Kay, and that is correct. It is already on the IWP 1370 form.
Thanks, Mary Kay. This is Tammy again. I just wanted to reiterate what Derek just said about questions in the chat related to services and supports, that there's a lot of questions in here related to services and supports that we are going to be putting together an FAQ. So we're collecting those we'll be sending out a document as soon as we can get that ready to everyone. So Derek, I'm going to go back to you to see if we've got questions by phone.
Thanks, Tammy. Yeah, keep your questions coming in chat. We appreciate those. Obviously, you're seeing some responses come in directly from our colleagues at Social Security, along with the TPM team. Let's circle over to Catherine. And Catherine, just check in with you. Anyone with a raised hand or interested in asking a question live?
Hi, Derek. I see no one with a raised hand. I would just like to advise everyone, if you would like to ask a question, just raise your hand by clicking the raise hand icon, or if you're on the phone, press star 5. Turn it back over to you, Derek.
Thanks, Catherine.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate that. So if there's been a question that was asked that isn't related to services and supports, but directly related to RFA changes, and it was lost because of the activity in chat, we do encourage you to post it again. Sorry for that inconvenience. We do have a team watching, but it can be challenging as the chat's posts go quickly. So if you have something specific around an RFA change, please go ahead and resubmit that. We'll be patient as those further questions come in.
And Derek, we have a raised hand.
Excellent, Catherine. Let's go ahead and call on that person, please.
All right. Michelle McKnight, you're unmuted. Just click the microphone above and unmute and ask your question, please.
Hi there. I just wanted to clarify, you mentioned that this presentation will be available for folks to review if they were not able to participate. But I just wanted to let you know that in the past, when you've recorded these sessions, I personally am not able to review them. It says that not within the organization. So I don't know if there are some permissions that need to be changed in order for folks who are outside of SSA to be able to access the recording.
This is Derek. I'll go ahead and answer that question for you. There's a couple different ways to access the recording. We don't actually make the MS Teams recording available to anyone. What we do make available is the PowerPoint, an audio recording, and then some supporting files. So if you're trying to go back into the MS Teams meeting to access that recording, that sounds like it might be what happened, Michelle.
That's exactly what happened. Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah, so we do have all the other EN Essentials training on the service provider website, and you can access the ones going back to July. That's where we'll post the archive of the material. So it's at your ticket to work. That website inside of the EN training area. And we'll drop a link to that for you as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. What we want to do is have these readily available. You have EN Foundations modules as the baseline training, but then this series should be easily accessed by anyone who isn't able to be there. So that's where we're putting those. And Anna has just dropped that link in chat for you, Michelle, but also I'm sure others would be interested too. Thanks for the question. Tammy, I'm going to circle back to you, see if we have any other questions coming in.
I see one here. So what happens if an EN is currently part of an administrative EN? Do they need to terminate their TPA or terminate their agreement with the AEN? And what time frame do they have for this? I think that's a question for Social Security.
The answer would be yes. One of the agreements would have to be terminated. As far as the time frame is concerned, Mary Kay, could you tell me what EN that is, and I can reach out to them?
I'm sorry, which EN?
EN was asking the question regarding that?
Oh, that's me. Amy Wallish.
Okay, thank you. I will reach out to her. Because right now, it's my understanding that we don't have any ENs that are also AENs, so I will email her.
Thanks, Natalie. And Catherine, it looks like we have somebody who's raised their hands. Can you call them, please?
Absolutely. Janine, you're unmuted. Just click the microphone above and ask your question, please.
Hi. I have a question when you were talking about the ENs and the AENs. Can you clarify that topic that was being discussed? Because we are an employment network as well as a provider for the AEN. We work under two PID numbers. Is this being changed where you cannot do both?
Thanks for the question. Natalie, would you like to respond to that, please?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question? I was in the chat.
Yeah. No, we see you're doing two things at once. Janine, please repeat your question.
Yes. So we are an employment network as well as an AEN, Administrative Employment Network. Can you clarify the topic that was being discussed on you cannot be both? Or am I misunderstanding?
Yes, that is correct. It was more of a clarification. I believe that's always been the rule that you can't be in an employment network and also an affiliate for an administrative EN.
This is Erin. Just to clarify, did you say you have two different PIDs?
Yes.
Okay. Natalie, I don't know. I think with that situation, it's a little bit different. So maybe if we could take this specific situation offline to discuss.
That would be great. Thank you.
Yeah, or this is Anna. I understand what she's asking. She has two business models and she is approved for both. That is different, Janine. You can still operate two business models separately and you were approved for both separately. What we are clarifying is if you are an EN, but you also would like to join an existing administrative EN and work with them as a provided affiliate, that's the part that is not appropriate. But in your case, you have two business models and you're operating under both officially. So that is different.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, that clarifies it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Let's go back to Tammy. Tammy, there's been a few more chat posts come in and a couple questions. You have one you'd like to select?
Hi, Derek. Yes. We have a lot of questions about employer ENs. I know that. So here we go. One person is asking, who can I call to discuss and ask particular and specific questions surrounding the employer EN business model? So I'm going to say that should be... you could start with Anna Morales, and I think that would be, you could start with Anna, and if we need to get Social Security involved, but I think yeah. Anna would be the best one to explain all of the items surrounding the employer EN business model.
That's fine, and I can be reached at just the enoperations@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov email address, and we will provide any assistance that you need.
Great. Thanks, Anna. So I have another question. The first page of the change regarding ENs who lose their contract, did it say all of the EN employees can no longer work under another Ticket to Work contract? Is that correct? Natalie, or Social Security, that's a question for you.
I'm sorry, this is Natalie. Was that the same question that Anna just answered regarding the administrative ENs?
No, this is the one. Okay. No, this is the one about ENs who lose or have their contracts terminated. Did it say all of the EN employees can no longer work under another Ticket to Work contract? Is that correct?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yes. It does not say that. It says that they can be marked ineligible. It is on a EN by EN basis.
Okay. Thank you, Natalie. I do have another question here. What is a provider affiliate? And I'm going to direct that one. Anna, can you answer that question?
Sure. A provider affiliate is an organization that works under the umbrella of an administrative EN. They don't have, they're an extension of that EN of record. That's how Social Security determines that EN that is the approved one. But they could be different providers that provide services to ticket holders. And they don't have a direct contract with Social Security. They have it with the EN of record or the administrative, the EN, which is the one that has the contract or the agreement with Social Security. And the difference is that the administrative EN is the name in itself. They administer the program for these provider affiliates. They have all the contact and they are responsible for the employment network with Social Security. And the services are exclusively provided by the provider affiliates. The only service that an EN of record can provide is benefits counseling, which is needed all the time for ticket holders to, in their goal for employment, to be informed. But that's the only service that they can provide. All the services within that model should be provided by all the provider affiliates that join them. And we do have a list of admins. We have a directory that if anybody's interested, they can reach out and contact them.
Great. Thanks, Anna.
Mm-hmm.
I have one more question I'll ask, and then we'll go back to the phones, I think. Can you only have two business models? I'm going to direct that one over to SSA.
Right now, we only have three business models, and there are no rules in the RFA. An EN can potentially have all three business models, the traditional, the employer, and the administrative EN.
Thank you. Eric, I'm going to turn it back to you.
Thanks, Tammy. As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question live, please use the raise your hand feature or star 5 on your telephone. We'll check in with Catherine to see if we have any interest for a live question. Catherine?
Hi, Derek. We have no raised hands at this time, sir.
Great. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
We've had a variety of activity in chat. We appreciate that and especially appreciate our colleagues from Social Security answering so many questions. Please let us know how to save chat before the call ends. We'll be capturing that and providing it out in a couple summary tools, including an FAQs around the services and supports. So thanks, Shauna. That will be part of the report that comes out after. Tammy, looks like we had a couple more come in. Is the one that you'd like to select for our next question, please?
Well, I just wanted to say, too, just to reiterate, a lot of folks are asking if we can record the chat, but we will have a recording available within 2 weeks or sooner of the call. Oh, that won't include our chat, though. I'm sorry.
No, but we do take the chat questions that are clear questions related to the topic, and we'll provide those. And again, our team from services and supports is on, and they're going to take and answer all of those, creating a new FAQs tool. So we will get those to you. Importantly, you'll also have the PowerPoint, you have the RFA itself, and then you'll have a new side-by-side comparison tool. I think collectively, along with the audio of this session, that will give you a toolkit that will track all of the changes that were made. And as Melanie has stated throughout, from the beginning, a lot of these were simply clarifications of what was already occurring. We have about 8-9 minutes left in our session. If you have any questions, keep them coming in. We could stay here and conclude on time. If our questions start to slow down, then we'll move to wrap up a little early.
This is Tammy. I have another one. Can a traditional EN have subcontractors or affiliates under their PID? I think that's a question for SSA.
Yeah, go ahead and repeat that. So if Natalie wants to answer it, she can hear it. She's still active in chat too.
So to clarify, are you asking if your traditional EN can contract with another organization to provide services to your ticket holders?
Yes, this is Natalie. Yeah. There is a difference between provider affiliates and subcontractors. The provider affiliates are an organization that would work under an administrative EN, but some ENs do have subcontractors to assist them with providing different services when they send a ticket holder for certain services, if that makes sense. But they would need to also, have suitability to work with the ticket holder PII.
Thank you, Natalie. Still looking for more.
Tammy, looks like there's a follow-up that's a little bit more specific that came in. So
that I am responding to that right now regarding the subcontractors. Yes.
Great. So Tammy, thanks for the follow-up. And Natalie's going to provide a response in chat in a moment for you there. So yes, just to call that out, go ahead, Tammy.
So no, can we have another IL center become a subcontractor and have their own ticket holders? The answer is no, the tickets would be assigned to the traditional EN.
Thanks for calling that answer out so folks on the phone would know what was going on. A couple more questions coming in. Tammy, you want to select one of those?
I will. So it says, can you clarify if the statement of understanding is already included on the IWP on your ticket to work? The one that's posted? I believe it is. Mary Kay, can you confirm that?
Yes, it has always been on the 1370 IWP form.
Thanks,
and
Mary
Kay. It is right before the signatures.
And if someone is, if there's a, I just want to say, this is Tammy. Thanks, Mary Kay. Tammy again. If someone has a question that hasn't been answered in the chat, that's related to the RFA changes, go ahead and raise your hand and ask your question. Otherwise, I'm still mining the questions.
Thanks, Tammy. We'll take a moment. We had somebody raise their hand for a live question, and then it looks like the hand went down. But if you are interested, go ahead and raise your hand again, and we'll be able to call on you.
Hi, Derek. It was Lauren Womack. Lauren, if you'll raise your hand, we'll unmute you, and you can ask your question.
Perhaps it was already answered, or she decided not to bring that up right now, which is fine. And you could always reach out through the EN Operations email box with your question, and we'll direct that to the appropriate folks. It's on the screen at enoperations@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. Tammy responded, thank you for the information on the subcontractors. I think that's going over to Natalie. So we have about one more minute. If you have a final question or comment, please include that in chat. Tammy, feel free to call on anything. And if we don't have something, then we'll go to wrap up.
Derek, I think you can go ahead and go to wrap up.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate your help today, Tammy and Catherine. And certainly all of our colleagues at Social Security and our presenters, of course, Melanie and Anna, for the content today. If we could go to the next slide, please. We do have a couple key resources to share, and there's two. One you're very familiar with. The ENRFA link is on the screen. You know where that location is, but we'd also like to drop some links into the chats. The second one we've referred to several times, the 2023 Employment Network RFA revisions file. This is the side-by-side comparison that takes all the content that were in those 26 slides and puts them into a side-by-side Excel sheet, which is fairly easy to navigate in terms of looking at the past and looking at the present. We encourage you to explore that. It is on the Your Ticket to Work website, we'll be using that as a tool moving forward, so long as the feedback supports it. The ability to track all this, there's a comment here, it's too much information. What we've done is actually address that. We've listened, we've heard, and we've responded. By putting this information out and more resources in a centralized location, this is by far easier than trying to find all of the changes by comparing the RFAs side by side. That is the objective, is to simplify the changes by putting them in an easier tool. We will also provide an EN Essentials recap in our EN Essentials page as well. So we look forward to offering that within 2 weeks. If we go to the next slide, please. We really appreciate you joining us for this EN Essentials training and focusing on the RFA changes with us. Your questions are helpful in understanding what the needs of the ENs are, and we appreciate all you do for ticket holders across the country. If you have colleagues that want to access these, please do visit the EN Essentials page on the service provider website, where we have the slides, and the audio, and the transcript. On behalf of the Ticket to Work team, I'd also like to once again thank our presenters, Melanie Webb and Anna Morales, for reviewing the important information today and for your participation. We do have some upcoming events that are on the screen. Tomorrow, November 15th, we'll be focused in our WISE webinar on Ticket to Work for America's Veterans. We have a guest speaker. We appreciate all of you sharing that information and supporting America's veterans looking to return to work with Ticket to Work. On November 28th, that's the new date for the All EN call. We have a robust agenda, and we look forward to having your participation on the 28th. And the final event on January 23rd, the EN Essentials session in January, will be focused on completing your EN Annual Performance Outcome Report, or the APOR, along with the SSA 222 Security Awareness Form. So we look forward to having some content focused on those two, and we look forward to you joining us on January 23rd. We do appreciate your feedback. please email us at endevelopmentandtraining@enoperations@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov with feedback and recommendations. In fact, just this morning, we received a recommendation that we'll be providing the Social Security. So we do take your input seriously, and we appreciate your participation and focus on helping ticket holders access work and improve financial independence through employment. This ends today's EN Essentials training. Thank you.